Okay.
Okay, it is 6:11 PM on Tuesday, August 11th, 2020. We'll go ahead and call the common council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, please.
Weigel.
Here.
Varga.
Here.
Reffin.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano.
Present.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on July 28th. Were there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is a resolution authorizing submission and local match commitment. During COVID-19, Lori Shipman and Chip and myself worked on a OCRA grant that allowed us to basically really I don't think there was any local match funding on it, the ability to fund two different organizations who were doing COVID relief type programs. One was Passages for PPE purposes, and one was for food delivery for the senior center. Chip, you want to give any more information on that?
No, we were granted $35,000 for Passages and $45,000 roughly for the Council of Aging.
Yep. So with that being said, I mean, the skinny of it is that OCRA kind of came up with the program and then figured out the details later. So this is the details later, which is we got to go through some of these funding components, if you will. We got to go through the official process, even though we've already been granted those dollars. So with that being said, in front of you is a resolution authorizing application submission and local match commitment. Again, there's no financial local match that we're providing. The nonprofits themselves may be providing match, but the city is not. We are basically just the recipient and pass the money to the subrecipients to do their job, to do those two things. And again, we've already submitted the application, and so we're just doing things in reverse so that they can check the federal guidelines. So with that, can I have a motion to read, I don't know if there's a resolution number. Is there a resolution number? Okay. Can I have a motion to read the resolution?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Tad, second by Dan. Further discussion? All in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read the resolution in front of us.
Resolution authorizing application submission and local match commitment.
So again, I've kind of explained it, but it's really focused on the COVID-19 response. With the OCRA grant program. So with that, any questions I can try to answer for you? Yes, it's a little backwards, right?
And so we've already received the funds?
We have not necessarily.
We have not received the funds.
No, but we have been awarded. We've just not received the funds. So again,
it's been approved at the state level. We just haven't. Money hasn't hit the account yet.
Right. So basically what happened was they put out the grant application. We applied for those two entities because we were an eligible entity. We got awarded, and then OCRA figured out how they were going to process. And this is part of that process.
And do we know when the funds are coming in?
Well, assumingly, I think as soon as we get the resolution done, I've already signed some other document. I don't remember which one that was, but... So, I mean, Lori's our grant administrator, and I think after this is done, I think we're close.
It's kind of, if I can interject, it's kind of sad because I told the Council of Aging, you won this. But that was 4 months ago, you know, and they're like, when did we get the money? Yeah, it's not until sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a sit and wait.
Yep. I think they were very anxious to do something to improve, and they're to be commended on that for sure. Okay, hearing no other concerns, can I have a motion to approve the resolution as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you. Okay, next up is load appropriation for police car. Rosie, do you want to talk about Lowit and Seedit additional disbursements?
Okay, we did get some additional money from the state, and Lowit was like $86,000, and I cannot remember off the top of my head how much seat it was, but so we have extra money we weren't anticipating in our Lowit account for the public safety.
And so with that, we actually in last year's budget we appropriated only one police vehicle rather than appropriating two, which is our normal schedule. And so because of the additional appropriation, because of the additional money coming into Lowit, the additional disbursement from the state, we'd like to request the council appropriate the money needed for a second police vehicle purchase or replacement this year. Scott?
So we got quotes on Dodge Durango, all-wheel drive, and we got four different quotes that range from $30,888 up to $39,600.
Yeah, I think Rosie has it.
So somebody the lowest bid came in, and they were all the same equipment. Yeah. $30,888 from Thomas Dodge and Highland, Indiana. So requesting $30,800 purchase that vehicle from Thomas Dodge for $30,888 plus $5,000 for installation of the vehicle.
I'm sorry, what was the amount?
$30,888 for a vehicle and
$5,000 for installation. Will that be enough to cover all of it? The equipment's usually close to $10,000, but we have some stuff, and we're able to get a camera through the prosecutor's office. So $5,000 should get it done. Might be a little light, but we'll move stuff on.
Is that trading one in too? Or?
But we're only purchasing one, not two.
Yeah. So we've already budgeted and purchased one. We've already purchased one.
It's already done and on the road.
It's on the road. Yeah.
Okay.
So
but I wanted to verify.
We'll pull one of the old Crown Victorias out. It'll end up getting sold.
So it's a purchasing of the second one is what the request is. And Board of Works has approved it, but pending your approval. Because of the additional money coming in to Lowit and Seedit. That's why we basically need the additional approval from you to appropriate those dollars toward that purpose. So. Questions for Scott? Okay, we have a motion to appropriate $35,888 from Lowit toward a police vehicle.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, second by Dan for the discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you for that. So I think the next thing I want to chat about before we go into department head reports is the CARES Act funding. So Tad and Jennifer was in budget meeting this morning, so this is going to be a rehash of what you heard this morning, but and well from board. But so the state, when the CARES Act came from the federal government, the state got $2.something billion toward CARES Act funding, which specifically for COVID-19 relief. Of that, the state of Indiana appropriated over $300 million toward cities, towns, and counties. A certain dollar amount for every community based on population. So the city of Columbia City has been appropriated $297,000 toward CARES Act or COVID-19 relief funding. As a part of that, it is a reimbursement program. It is not just a blank check program. So, and there are pretty, I'm not going to say real tight, but there are some tight regulations on what that money can be spent on. It has to be directly related to COVID-19. It cannot be previously appropriated money for anything, meaning that if we appropriated for a new police car, we can't go after a new police car with that same money because we've already appropriated it, so it's not additional. We have to spend the money before December 31st. And of course, like I said, it has to be COVID-19 related. So with that, Beth and Rosie and I have been working for the last, 2 months probably at least on this, trying to figure out specifically what we're going to be using that, what would make sense for us to use that money on. So for instance, we think we'll probably spend, or at least appropriate effectively somewhere around $13,500 for personal protective equipment or PPE. We may have about somewhere between $10,000 and $20,000 in staff expenses for specifically for HR director and for our city attorney that are directly related to COVID-19. There are also stipulations in the state's regulations of our money that there's only certain places we can put that money toward from an employment standpoint. So we can't necessarily go back and say we've had X amount of people that have been off for COVID purposes. We can't go and reimburse ourselves for that. That's not an eligible expense. There's also I partnered through my promotional fund with the Community Foundation, United Way, and Gary Parrott to provide food for students during right around the spring break time frame when the school was having problems getting food. So those are just a couple of things. We are planning to do. I'm planning to bring to you a quote of some sort to outfit this building. This room in order to broadcast virtual meetings to the public, so they don't have to come in and sit in those seats and etc. So and probably be able to provide opportunities for you all to Zoom in or whatever, not Zoom, but similar idea. And then we have some additional funding that I'd like to set aside for air bottle purchases for Tom, which we can talk more about that later. But there's three funding projects that I would like brought to you today. The Board of Works approved all three of them, but obviously you're the funding agency, you're the fiscal component of city government, so I wanted to make sure you get approval, that you approve of it as well. They have all, well, I shouldn't say that. The two police ones have been pre-approved by Indiana Finance Authority already. The third one I'm sure will pass with flying colors, just the smell test, if you will, to make sure that they are COVID-19 related. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Scott for a discussion on judicial sharing and Sierra wireless installations.
So both these projects are designed to enhance the virtual office and improve the bandwidth in the police cars to provide the officers the ability to do most of their work from the car and without having to do a lot of touching on paper and discs and stuff. So the first is judicial sharing through Motorola Solutions. It's part of the Spillman system that we already have. It's a module we have, but to turn on the additional features. And what judicial sharing does, it allows the officers to, once they put in all their video and all their documents, they're scanned into the system and become visualized, it allows them to share that report with the prosecutor in a link versus printing off paper and creating discs, having to come in to the squad room and burn DVDs and print all this stuff off, create a package and take it to the prosecutor. They're able to share. It's all digitalized, and it's the link is sent to the prosecutor who is a subscriber to it. And they once they open up that link and it's just sent on a regular web browser, they would open up the link and that gives them access to all the files. They would download them to their server and then print them out, burn them to disk in their office. And anytime update to the report, then also comes in and has supplemental information, types that into the computer that they, or adds a statement or another video. The subscriber is notified through another link. They can open that up and download that video or document, and it would, it provides, you know, they don't have to go take it over, visit them, saves time, and it keeps the cases up to date that the prosecutor isn't then asking when it's time for trial, hey, you have extra video? Oh, yeah, we have this video, and then they have discovery problems. So for a five-year program for this, where they provide the data, the and the training for the judicial vault, it's $25,094. It's a five-year contract. They provide that for 5 years. And what would be used for is specifically our data that we're going to the prosecutor office, not things that like we're doing, taking pictures of tall grass or anything that would go in there. These just specifically criminal cases. And then after that, in 5 years, we'll know exactly what the cost is to continue that. It would be a subscription fee or having to buy extra data. For some reason, you know, data increases, we're taking a whole lot of video and extra stuff. It demands on the system. It might be future costs. But for 5 years on this plan, $25,094.
Is that per year or?
No, it's for 5 years.
For 5 years.
It's total package.
Total package, 5 year coverage with customer support and support of the system. And again, it's part of the Spillman that we already have, but to turn on those features, we have to pay to turn on that. And the data is the most expensive part.
Good question. So I assume this would make the officers more efficient or time efficient.
Absolutely.
And so because of that, does that make trying to recruit new officers to come work for us, is that an attractive benefit that would help in recruitment and retaining of officers?
I would think so, because it makes them more efficient. They don't have to spend as much time burning disk, printing paper. So, and also, say you all were police officers and you had body cameras, and once you code your body camera videos, they're uploaded, the officer doesn't have to go around. Say it's my case, I can go around to you and say, hey, you got your body cam video, did you put it in the system yet? As soon as you upload it, it will connect it all to the case because you coded it with the proper case number, so it solves a lot of the problem. So some of it is probably a retention tool that they don't have to do as much stuff, and they know all their stuff is all packaged stuff. And it increases the efficiency of the workflow of the product. So they might have less, they'll have less time, you know, trying to get it all packaged together and burning disks and printing out papers and
Scott,
all attached.
Would you touch on the GPS advantage?
Oh, that's on the other one.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I was going to say, there's another question about judicial sharing. If not, let's just move to Sierra Oil.
Okay. And so the second project, which makes this much more possible, or much enhances this, is Sierra Wireless car modems. So the products we use right now is just a Verizon Wi-Fi that any of you might have, like Rosie has over there. They're not designed for ruggedized use in the car, so when the temperature gets to summertime temps and it's 120, 30 in the car, the battery swells sometimes, or it'll say too hot, it quits working, so we lose connectivity of our in-car computers to Spillman. We lose then connectivity of our GPS. So, and then it doesn't have the throughput that the ruggedized modems have. And there's two main carriers main producers of these. It's Cradlepoint and Sierra Wireless. And during research on this, I talked with Robbie Usley, who's done a ton of research on these for Parkview and the fire department, as the fire department has them in their fire trucks. They've gone with Sierra Wireless because of their reliability and their ability to be compatible with our city firewall and VPN system, which if we don't have that, they're useless because they wouldn't connect this building. We have to have a special VPN, we need a sonic wall. And so talking with him, I got quotes from both companies and Sierra Wireless for comparing apples to apples, the same type of product, came out that the Sierra Wireless was less expensive. So I got two quotes on those, and I got quotes on the radio plane, but they were $5,000 to $10,000 more. I got two quotes, one from Motorola and one from Digital Highway, which is the company that the fire department uses, Digital Highway. And for to outfit the 24 police cars that we have, which is 22 on the road and two reserve cars, so when officers are preparing, we have two backup cars for them to drive. And then one set of equipment for the shelf, so if something breaks, or when we get a new car, we put it in so that they're fully functional up until the new car's on the road. The cost of that would be $30,667.85. And another one of the enhancements with the GPS is the current GPS, the way it works is connected to the computer. So it only works when the computer is up and running. So we only have asset and officer location once the computer is fired up. These would have GPS would be constantly pinging it while the car is running, and then 2 hours after shutdown of the car, it automatically connects. The wireless is much stronger because it has an antenna on the roof. The GPS and antenna are much stronger, so we get much better Wi-Fi signal. It connects wired to the computer, so this system would have two wireless channels and one hardwired that would go to the computer, and the wireless would be used for if we decide to add other enhancements like telemetry, vehicle telemetry, or say video upload. We can do that through the other wireless channels. And as Tom mentioned earlier, they've had it for 3 years.
3 years.
And they're rock solid. They have had no issues with them, and they connect into our firewall and are able to connect to Spillman. So officer safety and vehicle asset management, tracking, big advantages. And it enhances the ability to do all this upload and stuff.
Questions of Scott about either of those products? So with that, are you supportive of us going after CARES Act funding for those two things? I think the total amount I added up, but it was like $55,000 and change.
Do you believe that those will be covered?
Say what?
Do you believe that those will be covered?
Yes, I've gotten pre-approval from the Indiana Finance Authority on those two items. So they've told me yes, they fit the criteria. So
that, I know that it can be kind of hard to find things to fit the criteria, so that's good.
Yeah, so what one of the things that I think a lot of municipalities have started to do is to talk to IFA directly and say, here are three projects I'm thinking of doing. Do they fit the criteria? And if we get a yes from them, then we know they're going to be funded. So that gives us a little bit more flexibility, if you will, to say, okay, what about this idea? They say yeah or no. So $55,761.85. Supportive? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Terry?
The project that we have is after a conversation with Troy and Scott on our front door out here on Chauncey Street. The lock is deteriorating, going bad, so we need to replace it. We thought while we're in the process of doing that, we would bring that door up onto the standards of the front door over here on Market to where it has a proximity card reader, which would allow less touching and stuff of the doorknobs and stuff like that for COVID reasons. It would also give dispatch the ability to lock down the door or open the door through the system we already have installed that they use now for the Market Street door. So this basically would put card reader and a proximity reader on the front door and hook it into the system we have now, and it would be totally accessible to dispatch to use as far as locking down the building or allowing access in.
Question of Terry.
What's the cost of that?
$4,051.62.
I have not gotten this pre-approved. However, my gut feeling says that this should be a no-brainer for them. One less touchpad. Greater security.
Would we then get cards instead of our numbers?
Proximity cards? Yeah. Should their ID cards have a proximity card reader or be proximity cards?
I believe they all got one in the beginning. Okay. I'm not sure.
So you're.
I don't think they did.
Okay.
If they didn't, but I mean, it's just a matter of me making them. So
yeah.
We make them ourselves.
Yeah.
So.
But doesn't it also have a touchpad?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they still could get in.
I don't have one.
I'd like five.
Sure, no problem.
So it'll end up being a card like this.
Do you guys have a city ID card?
No.
No. Mine's 30 years old.
I don't think that will work with the system. So I think that's an easy fix for us, though.
Yeah, we take care of that. We handle it. We make them, so we can do anything you need to do with that.
Hey, that's neat.
Looks
really old, too.
Dan's made up.
Oh, Dan's just fell apart.
Yeah.
That's just take that as a sign.
Was that for when you were traveling on a garbage truck around the city?
Terry, did we come see you about those or what?
Yeah, I can get those made up. All I really need is just a picture of you, and if you're okay with your pictures that we have on the website, I can use that.
Yeah, sure. I'm good.
Yep.
Can I send you a different?
You want to check that first? Or
what? Yeah, we can just have those made and put them in your box or put them in your folder or whatever. Or really pass them out. Okay. Supportive of that project?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So those are the first three projects that have been submitted to you and have been approved by Board of Works. As mentioned, the other projects where Terry and SDS and I are working on the outfitting this room for virtual meetings and some of the other things that are going to come down the pipe. But PPE, I'm assuming you're all okay with us going after PPE and those things. I don't have the specific number, but that's clearly an eligible expense, and we're going to try to cover every bit that we can on that from the personal protective equipment. So, okay. On that, Mark.
Going to my list here. My phone's already to die. This is the last full week for Fox. Then we start going weekends until Labor Day. So we did have some kids that got in there last night, broke over the fence and swam around. And they were caught. So thanks for the police for taking care of that. They did apologize today, bringing them to Tech, because their coaches did find out about it.
Oh, their coaches?
Yeah. So.
What kind of coaches?
Football and basketball.
They're just trying to cool down after practice.
They may be running still. I'm not sure. So we have one barn down, and next is our garage over at the Wolf property. And I don't know if you saw the press release that September. Did you see that?
I didn't see it. Obviously, I saw it when it got passed in front of me, but I haven't seen it yet.
So she, it's officially announced that they're going to be building a building up there, and we'll be taking their current building as our future office. So that's kind of all out there now. I spoke to Rotary last week. Had a chance to do that. Thought it went pretty well. They were all very excited to hear about the high school property and all the stuff that's going on. JFL practices started last week. Of course, we have a whole list of things we've got to do this that's been approved by our county health, by Scott. We're kind of following a lot of the same rules and guidelines that the high school's doing and middle school for other programs, where we will have to limit them to how many people come watch games, and definitely making sure everybody's away from each other at practices and things like that. So it's a lot of sanitizing, equipment, pads, all of their equipment, all of our equipment, the football after every play. I mean, there's a whole lot of things we got to do. So taking temperatures of everybody while they're there before they start. So it's kind of a pain, but we're doing it. We do have an opening for a full-time maintenance person, and we're hoping to, so I'll be advertising for that soon, and then hoping to add another additional person next year. So that's all I have.
Questions, Mark?
I forgot earlier, but other than my written report, I think it's important for the council to know our timing on the air packs couldn't be better. Last week, early this week, when we were changing batteries, there's certain electronic pieces and devices on airbags, and we were changing batteries and noticed that about 25% of our air packs on the heads-up display, it tells you how much air you have left in your bottle, they weren't working correctly. So our old supplier is no longer a Scott dealer. That's went to Hoosier Fire to keep it just completely out of the weeds. We had the guy that used to work for them come in today. He came in on his own and took a look at it for us, and most of our wires that connect the electronics to the heads-up display are either frayed to the point they're going to quit working or they have already stopped working. Now, there is a backup system to that. It's a gauge that you can look at. You just have to use a flashlight to see how much air, and then they have vibrator. So there are redundant systems, but they have definitely served their purpose, and I'm glad that by the grace of all of you that we're able to start looking at getting those replaced for the next year. So they're over 20 years, about 20 years old. Right before, a little over 20 years old then, right before I took over as chief.
Questions at the top? Kelly?
I really don't have anything to add to the report unless you guys have any questions on it.
Questions? Okay. Chip?
Nothing.
Okay. Questions, Chip? Mike?
The control panel at 350, the conduit is in. They should pour the concrete pad for that today. And they should start wiring it after that. Still waiting on our controller for Main Street that was damaged during process when they moved the panel from the existing or the previous location to the new one for construction. Phosphorus building, the block is set on all the walls. I believe we're waiting on the roof panels. We'll have progress meeting on that tomorrow. So that building's coming along nicely. South Chauncey, they finished setting the structure down here at Ellsworth and Chauncey, and they should turn and start heading east on Ellsworth. And I'm going to request that they get Spencer Street open back up, passable to traffic before they close the main down, because we're going to have school buses that are going to have to get into that area. So they're not going to be allowed to have that closed down. So I'll address that tomorrow at our meeting. The Ellsworth site, there's no work. The Whitley Street site, they poured concrete today at Jefferson. They're pulling these structures out from underneath the lid. They set a structure for the 42-inch line, and as they were digging today for the 15-inch line, they come across the electrical that runs from basically the meter over to the station. They had exposed, everything was fine. I stopped over there, I think I stopped over there, everything was going fine. But then I got a call from my phone blowing up that there was all kinds of problems over there. There was hissing, crackling, somebody got shocked, everything like that. So apparently one of the contractors got shocked. I don't know if that's possible. I mean, Trump said it is. I mean, he was fine. So it wasn't a bad shock, but when we got there, there was smoke rolling out of both panels. That was me after I got there. Basically, they exposed the conduit and had concrete around it, which they call a duct bank. It's supposed to prevent when you're digging,
sure,
so you don't dig through the conduit. Well, they had that exposed, but apparently they didn't support it.
Oh.
So the weight of that actually broke the conduit and ripped the wires off the panel, and it didn't trip the breaker, so the whole inside of our panel burned.
Thanks.
So the whole station is completely out of service, and I had them there bringing in a bypass. Well, they brought in a bypass pump, so everything's being bypassed, and we're probably looking at our new control panel.
And that's at Main Street, Jefferson?
That's
Jefferson.
And Jefferson, we're waiting on the controller, and I don't know what the bill is so far, but the controller we're waiting on is $6,600. And I know this control panel because they're just talking about replacing it after the electrician was there today. So, and then I told them I want every wire checked inside this station. I want to make sure it's still sound and in good condition. If not, it needs to be pulled out and replaced. They've been given all the contact information for SNL, which is a company that builds the station. They said just give them a serial number. They have files. They'll be able to tell you every single nut and bolt they put into this one to build them. So we're probably, I'll send them between these two stations, we're probably over to $20,000 that they're going to owe us, or they're going to be paying for it. So. That's why I'm not too stressed, because I'm not paying for it, but it's still there. I'm just ready for January 23rd when it's all done.
Is that substantial completion?
That is final.
That's final completion.
Yes,
okay.
Substantial is November, so they're not going to fix that.
I did want to bring, I forgot I was going to bring up the railroad.
Oh, sure.
They were working on Ohio Street Railroad, and it looks like they got just the stone in place now, the old asphalt out so far away from the tracks, and it looks like they're going to maybe pave that tomorrow or some, and then it looks like they'll probably move from there over to Line Street, so if you see any detours. I think at one time they had Line Street, Ohio, and Page Road shut down.
And Main Street was closed down. They had a malfunction in the crossover.
Oh, really?
It was closed for an hour or so.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody could get south of
them.
They're
blind
this
street.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, trying to get to church in the old street department.
Okay.
So, just a heads up on
Thank
that.
Terry.
Scott. Just want to say that Officer Denho is at the academy right now. He's in the second week and he's doing okay. And then Officer Crabtree started on August 1st, and his first day was last Monday.
Good. Questions, Scott? Thank you. Sean.
Our biggest project is still the Columbia Shores project. Our boring crew that's over there, we contracted out, broke the boring rod in the ground, so there's a backhoe hole about 20 foot long through one of our customers' backyard now. So they're going to get that fixed. We had a regulator malfunction out on our rural lines. They're out by Crooked Lake Golf Course, so we had to drop the line for about 5 seconds to take that out of service. We had a couple of squirrels and a bird, so we had about 2 weeks where their power was flickering by every other day. So through that, hopefully that gets better out there after all that. But other than that, waiting for our new chipper to get here. Should be here in a couple weeks. So, I know the second chipper got back, so good to see. So it's a great idea that we're having that back up.
I thought it was good that we didn't have any major issues last night with the windstorm and stuff. I saw just a little flickers, but nothing that was significant. So did we have anybody out yesterday? I didn't think so.
It was AEP's
issue. I wonder.
I got an email from I&M and some of their customers in Fort Wayne won't be on until Thursday night, 11 p.m.
Right.
I think Warsaw was out for a while.
Yep.
We just got ours back at...
Did you finally get a shower?
No. 23 hours.
You don't tell me.
I didn't know Pearson had a shower.
I didn't have showers.
There's a pond at the back.
There's a pond.
But there is a message in that, that we catch a lot of grief for our 2 second.
Yep.
And there's a lot of places that are out there 24 hours, 48 hours.
Well, and honestly, that's historical. I mean, it's just you can look back at the major storms we've had, even in just my 8.5 years, and just how many times we've had people back on the same day or within an hour compared to places in Fort Wayne and others that are out for days on end. So I think it's a big testament to what?
Weeks sometimes,
that's true. So I think it's a testament to the reliability of the system, the backups, and certainly our employees. Key factors in that.
Real quick, thanks out to Sean and his guys today for shooting the power shutdown for us. And basically, just taking the conduit, cutting it out, and getting it all out of the way.
When we're heard there's smoke coming from the panel. We got there as quickly as
we could. You didn't jump on that one.
I don't remember that.
Okay. As an FYI, obviously you all know that budget meetings are happening right now between council members, myself, Rosie, etc.
Cut a tree down.
My intern Zach will be in his last day on Friday. He heads back to campus, I believe, the following Monday at IU, IU Bloomington. US 30 Coalition. I was at a I guess 2 weeks ago now. I was at an event over in Fort Wayne, and we got some one-on-one time with the governor regarding US 30. I had a lot of business representatives there, big business representatives there, to explain the reason and rationale behind the need for US 30, not just the environmental impact study, but also certainly the need for construction and to not do band-aid approaches across the corridor. He seemed fairly receptive to it, I think we finally have the firepower from a business and economic standpoint to really push the ball forward in this project. So more on that to come, but I felt like it was definitely a good spot to be in. First Friday seemed to go well. I didn't make it down there, but it seemed like it went well. So besides that, I don't think I have anything else that's popped up. So happy first day of school to everybody on the 20th for with the County Consolidated Schools. Let's hope that school stays open for more than a couple of days. Rosie?
I forgot to tell the department heads I am in the process of getting prices for changing uniforms to between Cintas and Wildman. I haven't got the prices yet, so I don't know, but just so you're aware, if you got any concerns, let me know before it happens, and then I'll try to bring it to the board for change.
The Whitley County Regional Sewer District is still alive, still moving forward. Not a lot of immediate impact to the city or to our infrastructure, but we have now met all the obligations to the state, submitted all of the, say, the top five areas in Whitley County that they would like to look at. So just again, just give you an update that we're still meeting on schedule and discussing the issues. We've had a change in our project management, engineering, design. So I'd say right now we're still looking after the first of the year before you see anything more solid, you may say, moving forward.
Okay. Thank you. Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Meeting. We talked about we're doing a subdivision orders so we don't have situations like out at Deer Chase. We're trying to look at the limited number of houses or, say, cul-de-sac or dead-end street or length of street. So we're looking at hopefully making some adjustments to not let happen what's happened out in that area. And also, we talked a little bit about the temporary cul-de-sacs and who's responsible for maintaining them and the sizes and things. Because we have some issues here out at Eagle Glen that need to be addressed. It's not really the city's responsibility, but the one or two that I got called out on. But who does take care of it? So those things are being looked at. I don't know if there's anything else I'm missing there.
No, I think the last 3 months you've seen more focus from the committee looking at the challenges that we have in subdivisions, and they're listening. As a group, we're listening, and there's pros and cons, and we kind of had a open forum to the public and to the realtors, and again, try to talk about how many houses down a certain road before you need another access to that area. So there's debate on both sides, but the good news is we're talking. So.
Okay. Dan, maybe this is a little bit more of a Board of Works issue, but do we have any progress on the drainage ditch over by the church?
Yeah, they're supposed to be receiving bids here in another week or two.
Okay.
And so once the bids are accepted, or the bids accepted, then we'll
get the bill over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get the bill.
Okay.
So yeah, and then they have a time period to get it done. You know,
yeah.
So that could vary.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Jennifer?
Nothing.
Jen?
Nothing.
Tad?
Nothing.
Audience?
No.
Okay. We will call the meeting adjourned. CIP committee will meet here in about 5-ish minutes.